Wake Up with Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer for breakfast.
We're lucky to have so much bushland, natural environment around the city.
Really multi-culti lifestyle.
Great coffee, great food.
Fantastic.
ABC Radio Sydney.
Now, last night, the stargazing was underway. We're still waiting to find out whether it was a world record, but if you're out there staring into the skies and hoping to break that world record, well done to you. We're thinking around about 10,000 people across the nation did it, so you're in good company. But we thought it might be a nice excuse to talk about looking into the stars here in Australia with a bit of extra history to it.
That's right. Well, this is Eora Nation, number 77. And so we thought we would invite back a lovely guest, Kirsten Banks, in studio. She is a Wiradjuri woman who has an absolute passion for anything to do with astronomy and astrophysics. Hello there.
Hello.
Kirsten, and welcome.
Thanks for having me back again.
I was particularly interested. Last night there we were trying to break the record of all looking at the stars. And, you know, I was wondering, I know a little bit about the constellations now that our Indigenous people identified, but perhaps we can talk about what was, like we were last night, what was going on Earth when Indigenous people were looking at the stars. How much connection was there? Navigation, obviously, myth, legend, all of that. So yeah, perhaps you can tell us about the original stargazers.
Well, I think you've actually said quite the fundamental thing about Aboriginal astronomy is the link between the stars and the land. Because when we look up at the stars, we try and make meaning and make that connection between ourselves to the land and to the stars. That's the main force that drives us with Aboriginal astronomy.
Yeah, well, that is interesting because I guess in some ways we're a little bit more disconnected from that because Orion's belt to me doesn't really mean anything in my life.
Yes.
What about the saucepan? You know a bit about that.
Well, all right, the saucepan. I can relate to that a bit more.
I think that looks more like a shopping trolley in
yeah,
all honesty.
I never can quite pick it, actually.
But they're quite different, of course, for Indigenous people.
That's right, yes. So when we look up into the stars and we see these stars and we see these constellations, we use them to indicate to us when to go looking for food. Mm-hmm. So there are particular stars, rather, that indicate to us when to go looking for a certain type of food during the year. There are other stars that indicate seasonal change as well. You guys mentioned earlier that we're going into winter next week. It's going to get quite cold. So there are stars out there that indicate that to us.
Well, when I see the saucepan, I think I'd better get down to Woolies. Same sort of thing?
Yes, same sort of thing, yes.
Right, same sort of thing. You remind us of those wonderful constellations. Well, not constellations, but, well, there is one, isn't there? It's the Kanu, is a fantastic constellation of stars.
Yes, to the Yolngu people up in Northern Territory, they see the Orion constellation as a Kanu, where the three belt stars are three brothers within that Kanu.
That's right, and they go out on a. There's a whole story attached to what happens on their canoeing trip, isn't
That's
there?
That's right. They go along to go fishing, and they keep catching the sacred fish, the kingfish, which they are not allowed to harm or eat. And that's all they're catching all day. And one of the brothers gets really, I would say, hangry and decides to eat one of these fish. And one of the spirits sees this happening and sees them breaking the law. And so they create a water spout and they're pushed up into the sky and they have to stay up in the heavens forever.
Oh, right. And I'm loving also this wonderful story that I have. I was just reading again this morning. Gidja, the fantastic myth, the legend about how the moon came to be.
Oh, lovely.
And this one's from... I don't know which people here. This is Cape York Peninsula, and it is, I guess, just one of the many, many myths, of course, about how this moon and stars came to be made. And, of course, the star of all of this is the wonderful emu, of course,
yes.
The celestial emu. So remind us about the great celestial emu.
Yes, well, the Great Celestial Emu is one of the biggest and well-known constellations in Aboriginal astronomy. Anyone who's heard of Aboriginal astronomy before has most likely heard about the Great Celestial Emu. But it's very different to, let's say, normal constellations that we have in Western astronomy, because with those we use the bright parts of the sky, the stars. We connect the dots between the stars to create these pictures and constellations. Some of them make sense, others not
yes,
so
it's
much.
It's like connect the dots, isn't it?
It's like connect the dots, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But with Aboriginal astronomy and with this constellation, it's very, very different. Instead, we're using the dark parts of the Milky Way to manifest this huge emu shape in the sky.
And how big is it?
It is basically the entire sky.
Is it?
Right?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It stretches across
have
the entire sky.
Have you seen it, Robbie?
No.
I mean, once you recognise it, you go, oh, duh, why didn't I see that?
Exactly. Like, once you see it, you can't unsee
really?
It.
Really? Well, I want to see it because I try and find the saucepan and find the arch and find, you know, I'm lucky if I can find the Southern Cross sometimes. it's confusing. Okay, well.
But I just love this idea that when we call it the dark emu, tell us a little bit more about why it's called the dark emu.
It's literally because we look at the dark parts of the Milky Way.
It's as little as that.
Yeah, the dust and the gas that's blocking the light from the stars that are further into the plane of the Milky Way galaxy.
And you see this emu, it's like, ah, it's an emu rampant, really.
Is it running?
It's sort of flat out, isn't it?
Yes, so in certain times of the year, so from my country, Wiradjuri, we actually use the position of the emu to indicate when to go looking for emu eggs.
Yeah, okay.
So just after sunset, when the emu is just above the eastern horizon, it does look like it's running across the horizon. And so that tells us that the emu are now running around trying to find a mate and nest. But later in the year, when the body is nice and high up in the sky after sunset, we now see the body as an egg in an emu nest. And then that tells us now is the time to go looking for emu eggs and they'll be available.
Okay, what about now? What about tonight? If people are, I think it might be cloudy tonight, but if you were to go out and look into the night sky, tell us where to look and how to see it.
For tonight, it's starting to come up above the eastern horizon, so it's running at the moment. In Sydney, with the lots of light pollution, you won't be able to see the Milky Way. I think I had a little bit of luck the other night when I was out. It was like 1 a.m. sitting on top of my roof. I was like, oh, it's actually kind of dark out here in Kingsford, and I thought I could see just a little bit of, maybe a little bit of the centre of the Milky Way.
Yeah.
I might have been imagining it. Oh. But if you get out to a place with very little light pollution, it is hard to miss.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Next time we're at the back.
I just want to quickly tell us about the why the that little myth about why the surface of the moon is pitted in the way it is.
Oh, yes, I love this story, especially since the star that this story involves is now officially known worldwide by its Aboriginal name. So it's known as Energonite from the Boorong people in northwestern Victoria. And this star has two wives either side of him, two stars either side of him. And the moon, Mityan, falls in love with one of the wives and tries to lure her away. So Energonite finds out about this and is really mad about it, of course. The moon's trying to steal one of his women. And so they have a great fight and they battle it out. And the moon loses and is left to wander the heavens with the battle scars strewn on his face for the rest of time.
That'll learn you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And don't come back.
Yes.
Oh, it's such fascinating stuff, Kirsten. Thank you so much.
And you'll have to take Robbie out to show him the great emu, I think.
Yes, yeah. We'll have to go out to Siding Spring at Coonabarabran and just check out the entire sky.
Just pop out one night, why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Kirsten Banks, who is a Wiradjuri woman, Indigenous astronomer and astrophysics student. How about that on your business card? Thank you so much, Kirsten.
Thanks for having me again.
Breakfast with Robbie Buck and Wendy Harmer.